Ladies and non-ladies, Andy here, day 41 of the Inner Winner Show, and I'm here with an awesome guest, Will. How's it going, Will?
It's going pretty good.
Good, man.
Just chill.
And this was the first time I've done an introduction and not screwed it up. I feel very proud of myself.
I think you could write that down as an accomplishment, for sure.
An accomplishment, the first accomplishment. So today we're going to talk about a little bit about the red pill. We're going to have a quick chat about that. We're going to talk about how to go out alone by yourself, as the word alone would imply. And we're going to also talk about some lessons that you've learned from a crazy BPD girlfriend. I think that'd be a hell of a lot of fun, that bit, because I got some stuff to say about that too. Let's start with a quick introduction. Tell people like what you're working on right now, what your goals are, like where you're at in life and where you want to be. It doesn't have to be too super long.
Yeah. So right now I'm working on mainly myself, just bettering myself in terms of money, like relationships, and fitness, everything like that, like the three pillars.
I feel like that is the trifecta.
It really is. You get all three of those, and I think that's like a formula for a successful life, for sure.
Which is like massively contrasted with what we're going to talk about in a second. I'll give a little hint. We're going to talk about like Disney fairy tale notions of the one. Like if you just have one relationship with one girl and everything's like peachy, you don't need anything else. But before we jump into that, let's talk about your BPD girlfriend. I want to hear about this because I know nothing about what you're going to say. All I know is you just mentioned, hey, I had a BPD girlfriend. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to start from the very beginning or... Because I think the beginning's pretty funny, too.
Go on. Sure, give us the story. Sure. Give us the juicy stuff.
I matched with this girl on Tinder, and I, like, kind of, it was, took a while, the message, back and forth, all of that. And initially, I was just, like, trying to, like, hook up with her. But I, like, thought she was cute, too. And eventually, like, the way I got her to go out with me was we had a whole conversation where I was just, like, sending her memes and like reaction images. And eventually I got her out, funnily enough. And things kind of like just progressed from there. And eventually she became my girlfriend. And then I realized she had like BPD, and it definitely scared me at the beginning, but I was like, okay, like, I mean, this isn't bad so far.
Okay. So wait, what does that look like? Like the moment where you realize like, okay, there's something actually wrong. Like were there red flags? Did she have some like weird behavior? Like what actually happened there?
She just told me like, I've,
oh no, the biggest red flag of all.
she was very open about it. Like, she's like, yeah, like, I think there was maybe like some disagreement or had something like that, but like, yeah, like I have like BPD, but like, you know, I try to manage it and shit like that. And I'm just like, I already kind of like liked her at the time. So I was just like, okay, let's see like how this goes. Like how bad could this really be? Like I've heard the warnings, stuff like that. Like don't have it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, at the time I was like, I didn't have like any other girls in my life. So I was like, you know what? Like, fuck it.
Yeah, that's why they say one is the loneliest number. I've been in that situation before, like early on. It's like, you know that this is not a good situation, but you're like, yeah, but I don't want to be alone. So maybe it won't be as bad as I think it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely where I was at.
Yeah, I'm assuming it ended up being as bad as you thought it was going to be.
Honestly, like, I think it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse. I think in terms of BPD, like, she was like fairly mild. But I was definitely like one of the things throughout the whole relationship is like, I was definitely afraid of her, like just blowing up one day. And like, I come back to my dorm room and like all of my shit is destroyed just for, because she like decided to get pissed off at me for something that I did.
So there was no like explosive moment. There was no like really bad.
Not destructive in terms of like physical, like her breaking my shit. But I was like, that was always the back of my mind. Just like, I don't know if this is going to like happen.
It's like you're walking on dynamite, dude.
Yeah, it was like walking on like ice.
Like, yeah.
A lake of ice, and you're just like, it's like, this is going pretty good, but like maybe you reach like a really thin spot on the ice, and then your leg just falls through, and then the big hole opens up, and now you're like drowning in ice water.
So you might be like the first documented, if you're saying nothing really bad happened, you might be the first documented case of a man who like left a BPD relationship without like having his dick cut off or like his dog like brutally murdered or some shit. Like you may be the like patient zero, like the test case zero of the first guy that survived. So I'm talking to a fucking like superhero, right?
Yeah.
Like you're God.
Yeah, I was like,
for the record, you just agreed that you're God. For the record.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'm joking.
yeah, I really like looking back.
Yeah, you go. I'll stop interrupting you.
No, you're good. Definitely looking back, like in terms of everything, like I made it out pretty clean. So
lessons learned. Lessons learned, when a girl tells you like, hey, by the way, I have BPD, that's usually a big sign that she has BPD. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah.
So anyone out there, if a girl tells you she has severe mental issues, that's probably best to run away. But like me saying that, like I have no judgment. Like I said, I've done that shit before. Like I think all of us have these like cringeworthy, horrible stories where we're like, this girl literally tells us that she's like got mental issues or there's something really messed up with her. And we're like, yeah, but my dick needs to get wet. Like,
yep.
Or I guess in your case, was it more a case of like, I had feelings for her and I already liked her?
Yeah, it was definitely like more of like, it was a bit of both. Like,
and do you think that came from, go on, you go on.
Oh, this is like, yeah, I wanted the consistent sex, but also like, I did enjoy like her company. So.
Yeah. Do you think some of that came from what you hinted at before, which is you had this like Disney fairy tale notion? I think a lot of us kind of grow up with it, of like the one girl. Like if I can just have one beautiful romantic relationship, everything will be all right. Like when did that mindset start? Where do you think you got that mindset? Do you think that contributed to like you sticking around with her?
Not her, but there was another girl that I met. Over, do you remember, did you ever have a Nintendo DSi?
Yeah, bro.
Do you remember the application Flipnote Studio? It was like a free animation tool.
Yep.
Yeah. I met her on that. And we like people used.
So you might also be the first documented case of someone who started a relationship from like a fucking Nintendo DS.
There were part of that community was like people making relationships out of comment sections. Like people would use the comment sections as chat rooms, and there were like quite
Wait,
a
no
few.
Shit. Serious.
Yes. Yes.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah. You would like refresh the comments and like people's like drawings or like whatever would show up. And yeah, that was like a kind of alternate from an IRC chat room.
That is cool as shit, man. So let's dive into the Disney fairy tale notion stuff. Like, when do you think that started? And more importantly, like, how do you think that's affected you just in general, but also in relationships?
Yeah. I can't remember like when it started. I think I always kind of like had that idea because, you know, probably from the Disney movies. And I always like, I guess when I was like first discovering that I like my sexuality and that I liked girls, I was like, oh, I'd really like a girlfriend, like, you know, and you see all the stuff kind of on the internet of all this, like the teenage relationships, and they're like, they both look like super happy and stuff like that. And so I was like, wow, that looks like a lot of fun. Like, that sounds like awesome. Like, I'd like to have that too.
Hmm.
And then I like, when I started talking to that girl, I was like, holy shit, like, you know, I like her a lot. I want to like wife her up. you know, and I was just like, okay, if this, like if this girl likes me and I like her, like we can just be like happy together. And that's all we need.
Yeah. Life is perfect. We won't need anything. We don't need to have our own lives. We don't need to like work on goals or anything like that. We'll just build a family and everything will be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even mock you. Like, I had the same shit, dude. Like, probably from fucking movies in Disney as well. Like, it made me, or that mindset made me stay in an abusive, like, horrible, horrible relationship for like 6 years, because I had this notion of like, but I love her and she loves me. And I remember when we broke up, I said that to my mother. I had a conversation with her and I said, like, but I love her. Doesn't that mean that we should be together? And my mom was like, there's 4 billion other women on the planet, Andy. Like, you can't just go love one of them. And I was like, no, but it's not the same, mother. You don't understand. We had something perfect. I'll never find another girl like her. And then my mom was like, but she abused you, like, physically, emotionally. Like, how is that perfect? It's this, like, stupid idea that, like, what we have is special and we can never get it again. Like, is that how it manifested for you? Like,
for sure.
We have something special.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I saw it, like, when I was talking to this girl, like, I felt like I would never find, like, somebody like her again. Like, I thought, like, she was, like, one in a billion, and that I was, I was very afraid that I would never find, like, someone that I enjoyed, like, talking to and spending time with, like, ever again.
Yeah. And I think that just comes from a lack of options. Like, because you haven't had that with many other people, or sometimes, in my case, maybe in your case, with anyone else, you think, like, this was really hard to get, and I only got this completely by accident. Like, it's literally luck. How the hell am I ever going to find another girl?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I think we should use that to segue into the red pill, because you were going to ask me a bunch of questions about the red pill. Now, if anyone doesn't know what the red pill is, go Google it. It's like basically like a self-improvement like section of the internet, like dating advice, that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about today some of the negatives of the red pill, but I do also want to make it clear that there are a lot of positives of the red pill. And I think probably the best thing that I ever read on the red pill, and the thing that absolutely helped me the most, was this idea of like, there is not one girl for you. Stop this stupid idea of like the one. There are many girls that would be right for you, and your job is to go and find a couple of them. Or maybe you find one of them and you just get lucky in the first one you find. But the point is, there's not just one goddamn girl for you. So what kind of snapped you out of that idea of like the one, the Disney fairy tale notion? Was it the red pill?
For sure. Yeah. I discovered the subreddit. It was kind of like in a time of desperation. I don't even know how I found it, but after like I read like, yeah, there is no like the one, I was kind of like, oh shit, you're fucking right. Like,
so there was no like anger for you? Because for me personally, I had that, they call it, what do they call it? They call it like blue pill anger or something like that. But I had that. I was like, no, this is wrong. This is sexist. This is misogynistic. These guys hate women. This is like shit. Did you have any kind of like resistance like that?
I think I had a little bit, but I was already kind of, I never had the experience where I was like angry. Like these guys are misogynist or something like that. I kind of saw it as like, originally I saw it as like dudes trying to help other dudes like be good with women and like get laid.
Because I think that's what the core of it is. It is a self-improvement place first and foremost. Now, I think they get caught up in some negative thinking and some unhelpful habits. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I think for the most part, the red pill is like, if I have to look at it overall, I'd say, like, yeah, they've probably helped more people than they've harmed.
Yeah.
You asked me a question like before we started this podcast, and you said you wanted to talk about like red pill advice and how you can use it for your benefit versus just misogyny.
Mm.
Have you had some, like, I know myself personally, I got very caught up in the red pill ideology and some of their dogma and their concepts. Again, a lot of it is amazing, but I went very, very, very deep down the rabbit hole, and I went into a point of like misogyny. Like, if you focus on that stuff hardcore for long enough, I think it is very easy to be tempted to start disliking women. And then it's very easy to start like dehumanizing women. Did you feel like that kind of stuff happened to you? Like that kind of thinking of like, oh, women are less than men, women are shit, women are, you know, gold diggers. Was there any of that sort of thinking for you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think if you're constantly thinking about the red pill, And you're thinking like all those concepts, and then maybe you think like, maybe you start talking to a woman, and then, you know, you kind of like, depending on what they say, you kind of like frame it in terms of like the red pill, like, oh, she, you know, you maybe start like thinking of like you're getting a shit test when you know, she's just making fun of you or like teasing you or something like that. Or like you kind of view them all as like they're gonna like cheat on you as soon as yes. like, they can.
Yeah.
Or yeah, and you really start thinking less of them for sure.
Yeah. Because essentially, again, not all of the red pill, I'm gonna say that 50 times during this podcast, but a lot of the red pill focuses solely on the negative behavior of women. And I understand why they do it. I think a lot of guys have these, like, they've put women on a pedestal, to use that analogy. They think women are perfect. I was certainly like that. I would never have imagined that women could ever do something wrong. I know that sounds fucking sexist as hell and stupid and like weird, but I legitimately thought like women are beautiful angels and they're all princesses and they're all wonderful and they're perfect and they don't fart and they don't shit and all that kind of stuff. And the red pill kind of snaps you out of that. It says, no, 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 look at all the fucked up behavior that women can do, right? I think yeah. if you focus on that for too long, like you said, it's very easy to say like, oh, wow, maybe all women are doing this or all women are capable of this. And you could do the same with men. I mean, feminists kind of do that. Like the very extreme feminists will focus on the bad behavior of a few men and then say, therefore, all men are capable of that. All men are like that. Men are just trash. Men are all like rapists in waiting. Did you feel like how deep did you get down that? Because I know for me, I got very deep. Like I really hated women. Was it like that for you? Or was it just like, oh, women are kind of like a bit shitty? Like how deep did you go?
I mean, I got pretty deep for a little bit. And I was like, but then I thought to myself, like, well, if like women are so shitty, like why do I want them in my life so desperately? Like, why do I want
yeah,
these
what did
like,
that say about you?
Yeah, it's like why do I want these like supposedly really shitty people in my life? Like why am I feel so compelled to like want them, right? So it didn't end up making sense.
Yeah, I had like kind of a similar thought, something along the lines of, I want women so goddamn badly. I want sex so goddamn badly. I want dating and relationships and all that kind of stuff and intimacy and affection. All the stuff that women, like that feminine energy, I want this so bad. Like it's at the core of my biology as a man. Like I need some feminine goddamn energy in my life. Is it possible for me to get that with a woman I respect? That was kind of like the first question I asked myself. And then I started looking for that. As soon as you're open to that, it's like you'll start looking for it. It's exactly like you said before. If you're obsessing about the bad behavior of women, that's all you'll end up with because that's all you expect. And just like you said, sometimes a woman will do some like completely innocent behavior. Like maybe you say to her, I don't know, you're like, what did you do on the weekend? And she's like, oh, I hung out with some people and it was fun, right? If you're deep in that red pill mindset, like as bad as I was, I would start thinking like, oh, I bet she had sex with like five guys. I bet she had a gangbang. I bet she's a whore. And it's like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But that's how bad I was. Like any statement any woman said, I would turn it into some sort of like bad indictment of her behavior or of feminine behavior in general. And I would look for bad examples of women, like on the news, like in TV, whatever. And I would say like, yeah, look, see how bad that woman is. I bet all women are like that.
Yeah. That's where I was at as well. You know?
Yeah.
I would feel like very insecure and be like, was she like, she hung out with like, who was she hanging out with? Like, was she like having sex with them or like,
yeah.
Like, why do I feel this way? Like this, it's like not normal to like be thinking that. Like, I don't think other people like generally think that. They just like take it as it is. Like, oh, I was just hanging out with people.
Well, because we were obsessing about it. That's the point. Like we were just so damn focused on it. And it's all you're going to see because you're going to confirmation bias. I wrote down some notes before this call. And one of the concepts I wanted to talk about was screening. I think when I was in that red pill mindset, and maybe you were too, it's almost like you're looking, well, it is like you are looking for and screening for like quote unquote bad women. because that's all you expect of them. Like, you don't know that there are any good women out there. And in fact, a lot of the red pill says there aren't any good women out there. And yeah. I think once I flipped that, once I started saying, are there any good women out there? I started looking in my life and I was like, wait, my mother is the best woman I have ever met in my entire life. Like, I love my mom to bits. She's incredibly fucking stoic. She is very strong. She's very determined. She's very empathetic. She's incredibly intelligent and fiercely loyal to my father. I've talked about this on previous episodes of this podcast. Like, she stayed with my father for like 2 years while he was depressed and he was horrible, and she stuck with him. And I said, why? And she said, because I made a commitment. Like, that kind of loyalty. If my mom could have that, surely there's another woman out there who could have that. And as soon as I started thinking like that, it's like, then I went out there and actually, it was like I was on a treasure hunt or something, right? I was like, looking for those kind of women. And then all of a sudden you start finding them. Like, there's plenty of those girls out there. I'm not going to say they're the majority, maybe because I have high standards. I wouldn't say the majority of men are amazing either. But if 5% of people are that good, like, that's a hell of a lot of people, right?
For sure.
So on that note, I don't know if we fully answered that question, because your question was, how do we use the red pill for your benefit versus just misogyny? Do you have an answer to that? If you don't, that's fine. I'll jump in and say something. But do you have any thoughts on that?
So I guess my thoughts were just kind of like, there is no the one, but also in that, in the red pill, there's also, you know, stuff that guys necessarily won't pick up on unless they know about it. Like, stuff like shit tests, stuff like,
yep.
Like how they like operate, like, so you can be aware of it.
Yeah.
And just generally,
yeah, I think
just
there is
like,
a, like, you go,
just
you go.
Their behavior. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think there is benefit from like knowing what's possible, you know what I mean? So you don't get caught out. I think the danger comes from obsessing about it, right? Like sitting there just focusing on it nonstop. I don't know about you, but I was like reading this shit for like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I pointed out that I was really bad. Like, I was really into the red pill shit.
Yeah. And when you, when you go that deep, it's definitely hard to, and another thing is like with the subreddit, or just, I guess the red pill, community in general is like, they'll kind of like tell you about these things, but they don't kind of say how to apply it, or like,
yeah,
it's not focused
what to do
directly
with it.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we're generalizing massively. I want to make it bloody damn clear that a lot of people in the red pill are fucking wonderful guys, like, and absolutely helped me. I wouldn't be here today without the red pill. I can't deny that. It is, generally speaking, kind of torn. Like, I feel like 50% of the red pill is about just sitting there, like, just kind of ruminating and thinking. And then the other 50% is like, shut the fuck up and go to the gym. Shut the hell up and make some friends. Shut the hell up and go talk to women. Like, very action orientated. And it's kind of like those two groups don't really go well together. It's almost like, and again, it's not for me to say, but I feel like the red pill would benefit from, at least in my opinion, some sort of renaissance, like someone to, I know this will never happen, but someone to go in there and say like, okay, too many of you guys are just sitting around bitching about women. Let's cut that shit out. Let's just grab the good parts. And just like the Bible, like literally you rewrite it. You have like a second test, like a New Testament. You say like, okay, the red pill is all about like taking action, not whinging about women. Yeah, some women suck. That's fine. Ignore them. Screw those women. You know, let's focus on how we can have better lives. Because at the heart of it, I think the red pill started as like a self-improvement place. And I think when it gets big enough, because it's at like 1.4 million members now on Reddit. When it gets big enough, it's like you're just kind of naturally going to get a bunch of people who aren't really like red pill. I'm trying to phrase it correctly. Who don't really care about like red pill philosophies like self-improvement. They're kind of just there to hate on women. It's like they're not true red pillers, so to speak.
Yeah. Like some people will post just like, just some statistics of just like, you know, how,
yes.
Yeah, just some statistics and just be like all doom and gloom and just be like, there's, you know, women will like ruin your life, you know, or the statistics of like pair bonding when she's had like multiple partners, stuff like that.
And I love that shit, true, dude. I love that shit. Yeah.
And while it may be like be true, it doesn't necessarily, just because she's had like multiple partners doesn't mean that like she's never going, like, just doesn't mean she's like a ruined woman, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Like, I understand the point of statistics, but people aren't statistics equations, right? You can't just look at the average statistics and say, like, well, most women who've had like 10 sexual partners don't pair bond. It's like, okay, well, what about this woman right here? What if she's different? Now, the red pill will say all women are like that. That's literally a catchphrase of the red pill. And I get why they say that, because they're giving advice to newbies and they're trying to say, exactly like what happened with you and I, stop looking for this Disney fairy tale notion of like the one. Stop thinking that you'll find some special woman who's an exception. Like, I get where that, why they say that. The problem is I think they take it too far. And I've always said, I feel like the red pill is a stepping stone, and it is the probably the best stepping stone we have, right? Like, if you're super, they would call it like blue pill, like, if you're super into this Disney fairy tale notion, maybe you haven't had much sexual experience, maybe you think women are perfect and all that kind of stuff, the red pill is the best place to snap you the fuck out of that. But I feel like you are supposed to eventually move on, right? Like, you are supposed to go and find something that's maybe like a happy medium between that and the Disney stuff. Because women are lovely. Like, women are fucking lovely, right? Like, I'm sure you have some stories. Women are lovely.
Yeah.
And it's not all doom and gloom, like you said. Like, they're not all fucking ferocious animals waiting to steal your bank account and rape you for, you know, alimony and give you a false
or
rape.
Or accuse you of rape.
Yeah. I threw that in there. Yep. Yeah. And like, so many people come to me and they say, like, dude, like, should I be worried about like false rape accusations? And I'm like, well, no. Like, are you worried about crossing the street and like a plane falling on your head? Like, it's a really small chance of happening. Like, be mentally prepared for it, sure, but don't sit there like stressing about it like it's going to happen. Like, if it happens, you'll deal with it.
Yeah, because I mean, it does happen. There are plenty of stories of it happening, but like, if you think about it from like all of the sex that is happening on those college campuses compared to the amount of like false rape accusations that happen and ruin people's lives, it's a very like small amount. And it's not to the point where you shouldn't be worried about it, but it's like, you know, you should probably, if you are in that kind of situation, you should probably like take a little bit of precaution or like think before like you do something. It's like, if I have like sex with this like drunk girl, like, is there a possibility that like she might like really regret it in the morning or something like that? And you just don't do it.
It's exactly that. It's like, you get in a car and you put on a seatbelt, but you don't spend the entire time you're driving like stressing, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what if I hit something? What if I die? What if, like, you take the precaution. Like you said, don't have sex with a super drunk girl. Like, that is just silly behavior. Yeah. And then you just kind of live your life. Like, you take the precautions, and then we've all decided that there is a certain amount of risk that we're willing to accept as part of being a human being. Like, work out what those risks are that you're willing to accept, and then just get on with life. Don't sit there obsessing about like, what if this girl gives me a false rape accusation? Because that's nowhere to live, and you're not going to have decent relationships. You're going to treat women like the enemy, and maybe that's something that we can talk about and go into in a bit. Like, yeah, I want to go into that now, actually. Did you have a point where you started seeing women as the enemy? Is that like a natural consequence of getting caught up in like some of the negative aspects of the red pill?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like, I felt like I had to keep them at like arm's length.
Yes.
And it's such a weird place to come from, because at the same time, you know, when you are trying to like get intimate with somebody, it's like, it's not this like thing just for you or like just for her. It's like, it is supposed to be a collaboration of like two people like having a good time. So if you're like, you are trying to, it's like the girl is a person that is like withholding the sex from you. So like, you're fighting her and you're like trying to like defeat her. And then maybe if you defeat her, like then she'll give you sex. And then it's like, then you get the sex and then like, you're not necessarily like, it's not as good, or it's like, it doesn't,
I don't know how to say it. It's like it's like you've taken something from her.
Yeah.
When you have that kind of combative mindset. And you feel like you've conquered. That's why guys talk about, like, you know, I got another notch in my belt. I conquered her. Like, that's what I got caught up in. Exactly like you said. It's like she's withholding this from me. And then that comes across. Like, for a newbie listening to this, they'll be like, what are you guys talking about? And it's obviously something you get listening to the way that you are talking. I can clearly see that you get this. When you have this mindset of, like, combative, you know, I must take her pussy, I must conquer her, I have to get sex from her, she can sense that vibe because you're acting weird. Like, you're treating her, you're looking at her like she's the enemy. And funnily enough, that makes her less likely to have sex with her, with you.
Yeah.
And the sex you have is less enjoyable because it's like, I had to pry that from her hands. And there's always this thought of, like, did she even want to have sex with me? If I take you to Disneyland, funny we keep talking about Disney. If I take you to Disneyland and the whole time you're kind of like not really wanting to be there, I can't say that I'd enjoy that. As much as if you were just like, oh my God, dude, like, Andy, I'd love to go to Disneyland, bro. That would be so sick. Let's go. When are we going? Like, can we go right now? I'll drive. Let's go. When you drop this mindset, when you start treating girls as if they're just like fucking normal people that, as you say, like, sex is a collaborative thing that you two share, sex is way easier to have and they're more into it. And the vibe that you give off is more like, oh, hey, like, you know, I like sex. Do you like sex? Let's have it together. And she was way more likely to be like, yeah, it's clear that you don't hate me. You don't hate women. Or you don't have some weird, like, predatory, psychopathic vibe about you. Because I did come off as psychopathic. I don't know about you, but I feel like it is psychopathic to want to have sex with someone you don't trust. That's psychopathic.
Yeah. I think I've definitely given off that vibe before, but it's not something that I wanted to, like, keep forever, you know.
Which is funny you say that, because I wanted to keep that vibe forever, and I tried really hard to. And I remember having multiple conversations with one of my best mates, where I actively would say, "I'm trying to become psychopathic because I'm sick of these pesky, like, emotions. I'm sick of this pesky, like, conscience that I have, and I'm sick of this fucking guilt that I feel every time I, like, take sex from women." And so my answer to that was like, all right, I just have to read more red pill shit, right? Like, my stupid conscience, like, I'm not a real red pillar. I'm not an alpha male. If I was a real red pillar, I wouldn't even feel this guilt because women are trash. So it's awful to think about, but I had to keep going deeper into the red pill to, like, try and brainwash myself into stop feeling emotions.
Yeah, sometimes that, like, feels like that is, like, the stereotype, like, ultimate man that you can be, that the vibe, like, the vibe the red pill goes off, where it's just like, you're just like, you're lifting, you're making money, having sex with women, and you don't give a fuck about anybody's feelings except you're just doing all three of those.
And there's this weird, like, I call it schizophrenia, but it's like two different, as we've talked about, there seems to be like a weird split in the red pill, but, like, half of them are all for chasing women. Like, they want you to chase women. They want you to have sex. They want you to self-improve so that you can have more sex. They want you to do all that kind of stuff. And then the other half seems obsessed with, like, not needing women, as if you're more of a man by, like, denying your biology and deciding that you don't want to have sex. Like, is that the kind of vibe you got from, like that split, like, half and half?
Not necessarily. I think, are you kind of talking about, like, MGTOW or, like, where they completely just shun women away, or because I get what you're saying. The two groups are definitely, like, intertwined, or, like, feel very close in vibe.
It's not so much MGTOW. It's more, so for anyone listening, MGTOW means men going their own way. So it literally means guys who have decided, like, no, I'm not going to even have sex with women. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, there are a lot of guys that if you say, like, I'm going to the gym because I want to get laid, you will get comments of people saying, like, bro, you should just go to the gym for yourself. Like, why do you care what women want? Like, have you encountered that kind of stuff?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And it's
like a split for sure.
Yeah, it's like schizophrenic. And I think that is just a natural consequence of having so many people there. Like, I don't think there's anything that... I think the core Red Pill philosophy is great. I really do. I genuinely believe that. Yeah. Lift weights, improve yourself, stop obsessing about women, you know, have some male friends, you need some male influences in your life. I think those things are great. It's just, again, that it gets taken like super far.
Yeah. And both of those answers aren't necessarily wrong either. If you're going to the gym, like, so that you are more attracted to women, that's fine too. And if you're going to the gym because you yourself want to look good and that'll like up your confidence, which in a way, like, you know, is going to make you more attractive to women. Like, those are both valid answers, really.
And I like that you said that, because I think, like, you asked me a question, how does my advice, as in me personally, differ from the red pill? And the first thought that came into my head was, I'm not regimented and I don't spit dogma. Like, I don't tell you that what I'm saying is correct. In fact, I tell you the exact opposite. I say, this is one thing that worked. It works for a lot of guys that I give this advice to. It worked for me, worked for most of my friends, but I'm not 100% correct. And just like you just said there, like, you can go to the gym for yourself or you can go to the gym for girls. Neither is wrong. I think that might be the biggest issue with the red pill, is that there are a lot of people on there who say, like, this is the only correct advice. And if you disagree with this, you're a beta male or you're a pussy or you're like whatever adjective you want to insert there.
Yeah.
Did you have more questions that you wanted to ask about, like, me in particular, or like, and not just me, like, you're obviously on board with, so we should say, like, the stuff that you and I believe in, you know, like, people like us versus the red pill. Did you have any, like, specific questions or any thoughts that you wanted to, like, for me to bring up or you to bring up of how we differ?
I would say, like, your kind of advice is definitely, and even, like, good looking loser too, where it's, like, it's definitely, it acknowledges the stuff exists, but I would say that your kind of advice is more like action oriented, where it's just like, okay, we have a problem of just like, oh, I can't get laid. Well, it's like, okay, what are we going to do about it? We're going to go approach and like, oh, you're afraid of approaching. Well, here's like a program where it's going to like take you through the steps of like, just like asking for the time and then eventually like get harder and harder so that you are comfortable, versus like, something like the red pill is just like, well, like, stop being a pussy and like just go do it. And so I think that kind of like, it's easier, or like, that's, your advice is definitely more like methodical and like action oriented for problem solving.
Yeah. I think there is value in the red pill stuff. Again, I'm going to keep making that damn point. I think there is a lot of value in saying, like, you know, sometimes you need to hear, stop being a pussy and just go to the gym. Sometimes you do genuinely need to hear that. And to be clear, there are a lot of like step-by-step action, like posts and bits of advice on the red pill. There are like, there's some genuine, like, I wouldn't have gone to the gym if I hadn't read a couple of posts from people who literally said like, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. I think the difference is like my kind of content and my forums and all that kind of stuff. And like the point where I'm at and where it sounds like you're at is I'm not really interested in the theoretical stuff anymore. Maybe that's just me personally, but I've read enough of that. I understand most of these things. I don't need to sit here and dwell on them. Now my advice and my own life is focused on like you said, here's the problem. What do I do about it? And I think that the issue was sitting on the red pill for too long. Again, I think it's a stepping stone. If you stay there and you get stuck there, I think you really do get stuck. I think that's the key word. You sit there going like, I have all these problems. Women suck. I can't do anything about it. That's just kind of the way it is. And one thing I don't like that the red pill says, they have a saying where they say, enjoy the decline. Have you heard that saying?
Yeah.
And I get the sentiment. They're saying like, a way you could take it is like, don't stress too much about the way things are. Just kind of like live your life and you know, don't worry about society's problems and all that. Like, I love that mindset, but I think that people like kind of butcher it and use it in terms of like, the world is shit. We're on the decline. Everything is going to hell. Women suck. Feminism is ruining everything. You know, we're literally on a decline. Society is crumbling. And that can kind of just make you depressed. Like, you're not to change your life if you think you're in a decline.
Yeah. A lot of it's just like, I always took it as like, just be the best you can be. But like, yeah, society is like slowly dying. So just like enjoy it while it lasts kind of thing. And just like get to a position that you're happy in. But it's definitely like, it's again, the vibe of like doom and gloom, women suck, just why bother kind of thing.
Yeah. I think we've ragged on the red pill long enough, unless you have anything else you want to bring up.
No, I'm fine. Move on.
Red pill, we love you. This wasn't like a hate piece. Don't come after me again.
You know they will. Maybe.
Nah. Okay. I'll be clear. It's like there's a few dickheads on the red pill, and I've had my fair share of like really horrible, horrific experiences. But then equally so, I've had a bunch of people just like absolutely be like top human beings. I think, again, that's what happens when you have a giant community of like 1.something million people. There's going to be some bad eggs. I can't blame all of the red pill for those like shitheads. Just like, even though I bitch about feminists quite a lot, I fully accept that 95% of feminists are reasonable people who just think like, oh, you know, women should be equal to men. Like most feminists aren't cunts and most red pill people aren't cunts.
That's fair. That's very fair.
So we'll jump into a new topic. You mentioned how sex is sales. Were you talking about like the numbers game by that? Like, what did you mean by that?
I think it's everything. Like, I think, as I've started my self-improvement journey and like in a way, like figuring out how am I going to get more money? Cause I need more money. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across like sales as like a career. I slowly realized that like selling yourself is essentially sales. Like having a like selling yourself to women as like, you could say, if you could say like you're a product that they want.
Yep.
And even something like the difference between like a good salesman and a bad salesman, right? So like a bad salesman is going to be very like pushy, and they like gonna really want you to like buy the thing, and they're just gonna be like kind of creepy, right? It's the same.
Because they're kind of desperate to sell it. It's like they're needy and desperate.
Yeah. And so like a guy who's like super desperate, like to have sex or like get a girlfriend or something like that, he's gonna be the same way. He's gonna be very pushy. He's gonna be very desperate.
Dude, this is
like the best. Please have sex with me. Like,
yeah. This is like the best analogy ever, dude. Like, I'm so glad you brought, because I wasn't sure what you meant by this statement. That's why I said, like, we'll bring it up on the show and see where it goes. Like, it's the best fucking analogy, because like, if you had if you're a salesperson and you had a shitty product, you have to work like 50 times harder with the marketing, right? Like, you have to work your freaking ass off to sell that. If you have a good product, it kind of sells itself. And man, this is such a beautiful analogy. I can't believe you like brought this up. The same happens with yourself. If you improve yourself, you know, you go to the gym, you gain some muscle, you lose some fat, you dress well, you have your hair up fucking awesome, you whiten your teeth, like you work on your confidence, all that kind of stuff, you're now a good product. And you will kind of just sell yourself just by almost by existing, as long as you're actually like putting the product out there, as in you're going up to women and saying, hi, how are you going? You're cute. Like, you don't have to do much work if you're a good product. And then similarly, I think that's why a lot of like pickup artists and stuff like give you all these routines and these pickup lines and stuff, because they're like, all right, you're probably not the best product ever, but if we give you this amazing marketing, you'll be able to sell yourself. And as much as I don't think I do it too much, but as much as I like mock some of the pickup artist like industry and stuff, I can't deny that there is some value in like being a great marketer. Like that works in sales.
That's essentially like how they get clients for like those pickup courses and stuff like that is marketing.
Right? Yeah.
And
I'm a shit marketer. I'm the worst marketer. I just have a decent product. They make more money than me with better marketing. So maybe I'm an idiot for not being a good marketer.
Yeah, maybe you got to up your marketing skills.
Yeah, no, I probably do, actually. I probably seriously do.
I think the analogy even like goes a little further too, because it's like with the lines, it's like, what do you like amateur salespeople do, or like sales like call centers? They give them scripts. They tell them exactly what to say.
Yes, yes, yes. I worked in a call center for like 6 weeks and we had to stick like word for word to the fucking script.
Yeah. And it's like, it feels robotic. Like, and it feels very like unpersonable and like there's no connection and you're just kind of like in the back of your head while these people are saying these lines to you, they're like, you know, they're reading from a script. You know that like they fucking hate their lives because they're like working in a call center, all of that shit. And so you don't want to buy for them.
Yeah, man, this is such a good analogy. We should have opened with this. I had no idea where you were going to go with this, but like I'm putting this in the description of the video. Like I want people to like hear this bit of the podcast because it goes even further than just that. Like if we then want to start talking about like the numbers game, the way that you sell something in a sales job is you don't just talk to one person. Unless you're incredibly lucky, you usually have to talk to a bunch of people. And the same thing happens with girls. If you walk up to one girl, you can't guarantee she's single. She's probably not. So you have to play this numbers game thing. You have to be willing to get rejected, just like in sales. You have to put yourself out there. You have to have a good product and then kind of like market it. And as we said, even if you're a good product, like if you make yourself an exceptional god, you're like elite level, you look like the most handsome goddamn man on earth, you still have to put the product out there. You still have to go and say to women, hey, you're cute, what are you up to? Like, can I get your number?
Yeah. And even it goes, I'd say it even goes further as like, you could say you yourself as a product could be like, you have like a unique angle. So like if you're a guy, you could say like, oh, I'm like skater boys or something like that, like an archetype. And so you're marketing to like a niche and like girls that like skater boys, right? And so those are the girls, you're going to push other people away that don't like skater boys, but like the girls that are into that archetype of guy, they're going to want to be with a skater boy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally screening like you do in sales. Like, and at first, I think when you first start a sales, like let's say you started a sales company or a business or something, and you're just like cold calling. I think most of us start out by just going like, I have no idea who my target audience is. So I'm just going to like spam everybody. Like I will hit up like 65-year-old grandmas. I will just hit up like 12-year-old kids. Like I don't give a shit. I'll just like spam this shit to everyone. And you kind of do the same with girls at the start. And in fact, like that's encouraged. You should just be hitting on as many girls as you possibly can. And I don't mean necessarily have like low standards, but kind of just talk to everyone until you figure out what you like. And then over time, you start to figure out what your niche market is. Like I have a very goddamn niche market at this point in time. I have a checklist of like 15 things the girl has to have before I'm even willing to ask for her number. And I've only gotten to that point by you start out with like the shotgun approach where you just like have a widespread. You push your product onto everyone. And I think most sales jobs are like, most sales businesses are like that. And then over time, you turn into like a sniper rifle. You know exactly who your target market is. You know who likes your product and you like market or appeal to those people.
Yeah. And then when it becomes that sniper rifle, like your consistency of like closing the sale is going to be much higher and you don't have to do as much work.
Yeah. Like that's what my sex life is like now. Like I know exactly who I'm looking for. And because I am so like practiced with that type of girl and because I'm looking for it so firmly, like I'm screening so hard for that. As soon as I find one of those girls, she's like, oh my God, you, Andy, are exactly what I was looking for. And I'm sure the same shit happens with sales. I haven't gone super deep into sales. Like I said, I only worked there for a couple of months and maybe it sounds like you have, but I imagine it's exactly the same with sales. When you get to the end, it's like when you know what client you're looking for, as soon as you hit them up, they're like, oh, fuck yeah, I was waiting for you to call me essentially. Like I need this. This is the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd probably be good at sales now that you've like done it in the just with yourself, with women.
I've done it in the reverse order. Like I know a lot of guys who've started out in sales and then like, it sounds like you.
I don't actually do sales, but I've like, you know, been looking into it, but yeah.
Okay. It sounds like you've researched. It sounds like you understand the concepts of sales and I'm surprised because I didn't understand any of that shit until I like worked a sales job.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump into the next topic, which was, where am I? Going out alone. You said like that was all you wrote, going out alone. So are you talking about at night or during the day?
It was a little bit of both. Because I think they're definitely like different atmospheres, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, one is dark and one is light. Very different.
Yeah.
One has the lights turned on and the other one, the lights are usually off.
Usually.
Although that's not true in a bar. I'm full of shit, even during the daytime. So did you mean specifically like in a bar?
Yeah. I that's what I like had in mind, like going alone at night.
Okay. So where are you at right now? Like, this is obviously something you want. Like, have you done it? Have you gone and like, and what is your goal? Are you going to bars like to hang out and meet some friends? Or are you going like specifically to meet women to get laid? Like, what's the goal?
I guess my kind of goal is like being able to like go out at night and know that if I wanted to, I think like to know that if I wanted to, I could have sex at night.
Yeah.
And so my journey so far has been like, I've gone out a couple times. I need to do it more. But have you heard of the apocalypse opener?
I'm assuming from the name, you walk up and say like, yo, you sexy slut, do you want to grab my dick?
I mean, it's fairly close, yes.
But, serious?
Yes, yes. I mean, you okay. Essentially walk up, you say like, hey, how's it going? Like, what are you up to later? That kind of stuff. And like, I don't know yet. And then you essentially say like, hey, do you want to come home with me tonight? And like, surprisingly, it's either going to be like a yes, a like a possible like maybe, which like I think they're usually like thinking about it like sure, or it's going to be like get out of my face.
Yeah.
And so like it gets to the point like super quick.
I like
and,
that. I mean,
yeah,
go.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, like, as you were starting.
All I was going to say is, like, that's essentially what I do with my, like, Tinder guide. Like, okay, not my Tinder guide, but, like what I say on Tinder. It's like, yo, hey, you're sexy. I'm Andy. I'm looking for something specific. Are you into BDSM and are you up for a threesome with my girlfriend? Like, that's the fucking apocalyptic shit, right? And sometimes you get, like, fuck off. And other times you get, like, yeah, sure. Like, that sounds fun. It's like,
yeah,
it, similar to sales, if you want something, you just have to kind of ask for it. Like, it sounds so retardedly simple and I sound like I'm oversimplifying, but like that really is all it boils down to. Like, you walk up to a girl in a bar and, hey, you're hot. Would you like to come back to my place? Yeah, maybe. Most will say no, but some will be like, okay, you have balls for asking me that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I haven't like gotten someone to come back with me, but like there's been a couple times where like we'll just hang out and we'll like make out the rest of the night and like feel each other up. And like, those are good experiences.
Cause that is the ultimate metric. It's like the only way to know if it works is it like you actually had sex. So right now it's theoretical. And again, bearing in mind, I haven't done this either. Like, we are talking in theory here, but like, yeah. I would definitely suggest you keep pushing it. You are going to get a bunch of people who tell you this won't work. A bunch of people on my forums, I know, would tell you this won't work, dude. I know a bunch of people on another website, Good Looking Loser, would tell you that won't work. The number of times I had people tell me something wouldn't work and then I made it work because I'm a stubborn asshole and I love proving people wrong, I've lost count. Like, people told me, you can't just go on Tinder with a BDSM profile picture and tell girls that you want to have BDSM sex with them. That's too blunt. It's too crass. It's like low class. Like, no girls will meet you. And it's like, bro, I've gotten laid like, what, 100 times from doing that at this point? Like, it's insane. I got told, like, you can't just screen for threesomes on Tinder. You can't say, I have a girlfriend. Do you want to have a threesome with both of us? Like, that won't work. You can't do that. So I am the last person who will ever say to you, that won't work, bro. What I'm going to say is, keep doing it. You need to really start putting in the numbers. Like, if you're going to do this experiment, really go hard on it. When you've done it like 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, and you start getting, it's like you said, like that sniper mentality, you will start figuring out like which girls in the bar are likely to say yes. You'll go hit on them first. you'll get decent at this. So again, this is theoretical right now, but like push this theory. I want you to make this work. I want you to send me an email in 2 months, and I really hope you will, and tell me like how it's going. If it's not going good, like fine, sure. Like we can figure out what's not working. I have a suspicion if you do this enough, you will just figure out how to make this shit work. So please don't listen to anyone who says this won't work, because fuck them.
Oh, I totally know it will work. Like eventually, like I know, like somebody will come home with me if I do it enough. I've like only gone out a handful of times and tried to do it, so it will work eventually. But like it's also like going out has also like made me realize that like girls will like definitely come back to your place. Like even if they don't know you that well. Like I think a lot of guys will say like, oh, like she's gotta know you for at least like this long or something like that. But like I had an experience where I was in New Orleans where this girl was like sitting with like her guy friend and I was with some dudes and I like walked by, but then one of them was just like, why didn't you like go say hi to her? Because we locked eyes for like a solid like 4 seconds. And I was, but I saw her guy friend. And so I was like, oh, it's her boyfriend or something like that. The Jizubo said, like, you don't know that. Like, go back and say hello, like, get her number or something like that. And I did. I like talked to her. I was like, hey, like, you're cute. What's your Instagram? Stuff like that. Like, what are you up to? And I said, like, hey, we're like throwing a little kickback at our place. And she came over. It was crazy. Like I talked to her for literally like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think like it's like a lot of things are like totally possible that that a lot of people like sometimes think isn't.
Yeah, I think that's a good allegory for like goals in general and stuff you're working on in general. Like people will tell you, naysayers will tell you all the time for the rest of your life, random goals aren't achievable. They'll just say like, no, that's not possible. That's not possible. That's not possible. What they really mean is you haven't figured out a way to make it work yet. So what they're saying is, I don't know how to do that, rather than that isn't possible. There was a fucking time where we had never been to the fucking moon and people said, that's impossible, bro. There's no like atmosphere up there. You'll suffocate. Like that's not possible. Fuck you. We proved you wrong. Everything in my life that people have ever said to me is impossible, I've quickly proven absolutely possible. They were proven wrong. And none of these people, like, I don't want to go on a big rant, but like none of these people come back and say like, oh, I was wrong. So you really need to ignore the fucking naysayers. Again, I never in a billion years would have ever thought that I could be having sex with girls on Tinder. Like you say, like instantly, like the number of girls who've come straight to my apartment from Tinder after like a 4-message conversation on Tinder and then another 3 messages by text. Like, it's entirely possible. But at the start, I couldn't do that shit. And that's why I'm saying you need to do this like hundreds of times. You need to practice this, because only by practicing this and experimenting and trying different things and figuring out what works, figuring out what doesn't work, that's the only way you will kind of narrow this down to a sniper approach where you know what to do. Like, I know how to have sex with girls on Tinder. Like how to have BDSM sex. I know how to have threesomes. At the start, I had no fucking clue. And I've gotten really good at it and I've learned to screen really hard. And you will do the same shit. Like,
yeah.
Maybe the more you experiment with this, you will figure stuff out that I can't even come up with right now. Like, I probably, there's no way in hell I can tell you what you need to do in order to make this work. But I can guess some shit. Like, you obviously need to dress well, you need to look good. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. And you'll figure out weird shit to make it work. Like shit that's radically different from anything I would ever suggest or ever do myself. And like maybe you have a fucking, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here. Okay, some things that would help is like you find a bar that's literally next to your apartment and you just say like, oh, hey, like there's cheaper drinks in my apartment. Do you want to come back to my place and we'll have some drinks? And it's like way cheaper than this shit. You do that. Maybe you're like, hey, do you like fucking Mario Kart? And she's like, yeah, I like Mario Kart. And you're like, cool, sweet. I got an old Nintendo 64. Do you want to come back to my place? And she's like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, I'm just like spitballing random shit here. But the point, maybe you figure out that it only works on girls who are by themselves and not girls who are with their friends. Or maybe it works on girls who are with their friends because the friends will kind of encourage it. Like, Maybe you have to invite the whole friends group to your place and then have like a party at your place, essentially, like some drinks at your place, and then peel one of them off from the others. You say to her like, hey, do you want to come to my room and let me show you my fucking, I don't know, music collection or some shit? Or like, do you want to just go to my room and fucking make out? Like, yeah. The point is, by trying a bunch of shit, you will figure out what works. That is the only reason I have been successful. It is the only reason I know what the hell I'm doing with sex, because I just failed 5 billion freaking times and then, oh, this accidentally worked. Cool, maybe I should try that again.
Yep. Yeah, it's like the same thing with like businesses, like successful entrepreneurs. You have to fail a million times.
Yeah, yeah. It really is like a million times. Like so many millions of times. It's so cringeworthy too, but it sounds like you're fully accepting of the fact that you're going to fuck up, and like it doesn't sound like you give a shit.
I mean, it hurts in the moment for sure. Like
oh yeah, for sure. It's horrible.
Like last night was really bad, like, because after I had some drinks, I talked to a couple of groups and I pretty much got like instantly rejected, and there wasn't a lot of people out last night. So after that point, I was just like, and I kind of like walked around and went to these different clubs. There were like super long waiting lines because of fucking COVID. And I just eventually said like, fuck this. And like, I went back home and like, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, and for every like 5 of those you'll have like the best night ever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it makes it all worth it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that mindset is the reason that like I fully think that you will be successful with this. I think you'll probably make this work, and this will be your thing, just like BDSM and threesomes are my thing on Tinder. Like it's that what you just said, you're like, no, I'm just going to keep doing this. It's that like stubborn refusal to give up. It's that pushing through the rejections and going like, it's worth it for the times when I succeed. Because the times when you succeed feel like an underdog story. Because like, okay, there will be other guys who do what you're doing, but certainly it's not super popular on the internet from what I found. Just like my shit is not super popular. Like BDSM and threesomes on Tinder are not like super popular on the internet. And I think that will make this even more sweet for you when you make it work. Cause you'll be like, I fucking figured this out. Andy didn't even help me. No one helped me. This is fucking me.
Yeah. That's why, also one of the things like why I like, website so much is like, no one's talking about this. Like no one usually says like, there's like, oh, you can get hookups on Tinder, but you're over here just like, it's like, yeah, but you can have BDSM hookups and threesomes on Tinder, like super easy.
And foursomes.
Yes. It's crazy what is possible if you put in the work.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is work. Like I had to get rejected like tens of thousands of times, and you might have to in bars too. And then you'll just you'll crack the code. You'll figure out the pieces of the puzzle, and then you're like, all right, I can just do this all the time. And I can teach others to, like, I don't know if you want to do that, but like, the point is you would be able to say to other people, like, yeah, here's how you do it. It's like pretty simple. And other people will look at it and be like, oh, what the fuck, bro? That's really easy. Like, and you're like, yeah, like, I just had to figure it out, but the answer is not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You get it down to a science, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that kind of is like the philosophy of the red pill. It's like, we're all men. Let's come together. Let's figure this shit out. And then let's like teach each other. And once we get it down to a science, this shit is super simple. Like just go to the gym and lift weights and look good and girls will like you. Like, you know, that's like not that complicated.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about, unless you have anything like massive to talk about at this point in time, we'll start not wrapping it up, but I'll ask you a couple of like quick short questions. Like we didn't talk about it too much, but you did hint to me before the call that like you used to be a loser in high school. Like things weren't going that great. What advice, obviously now you like, it sounds like you have your shit together. What advice somewhat. Would you give someone? Yeah. You and me both, buddy. Like I somewhat have my shit together. I'm just lucky enough to have a website where I can tell you all the stuff, all the successes. So you think like, oh wow, look at this guy's got his shit together. And it's like, yeah, cause I don't tell you the bad shit.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to someone who was like, you know, like a newbie or someone who's like earlier than you are in your journey right now? Like, do you have one piece of advice Or maybe a better way of phrasing this is, if you can go back 5 years and tell your past self something, like, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself, like, get your fucking life together. Like, like, really and truly, just like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah. What, were you lazy or?
Oh, it was bad. Like, in high school, I was, like, extremely depressed. And, like, I would go, like, 2 weeks without, like, showering. And, like, I specifically.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yes.
Get your shit together. Have a fucking shower.
Yeah. I mean, it even went further beyond that. Where it was like, I just remember specifically, like, one day in, like, chemistry, I smelled so freaking bad. Like, people were, like, having to, like, turn their head away from me and, like, cover their nose with their shirt. Yeah, like, I look back at that and I'm just like, holy shit, like, what was I, like, thinking? Obviously, I don't think, you know, a lot of guys will be that far gone, but, you know, it's like there is hope. There is hope. There's a lot you can control in your own life, and, like, don't have this mentality or, like, a victim mentality of just, like, I'm stuck where I am. Because if you have access to the internet and a computer and, like, a roof over your head, you can do anything. You can really and truly do anything if you put the work in.
And it's funny. I know that was kind of just like a funny, silly story, but, like, the number of guys that I have met or that hit me up for coaching or that come on my forums or any of that sort of stuff that are in, like, a similar situation to that. And what I mean by that is, like, your biggest problem at that point in time was that you're not fucking showering, right? The answer is right there. Right there. Like, people are obviously, like, turning away from you. It's obviously having a negative impact on your life, probably fucking life ruining if no one wants to hang around you. And the answer is right there. I have so many guys hit me up where the answer is, like, and I almost feel kind of bad about it. Like, they'll be like, bro, can you, like, help me? Like, and I'm like, dude, you are 50 kilos overweight, like 100 pounds overweight. You just need to lose weight. And they're like, thanks, man. Like, okay, I'm going to go do that. And it's like, and they'll give me this, all, like, oh my God, thank you. You've changed my life and shit. And it's like, I didn't do anything. I just held a mirror up to you. The answer was right there. But I think sometimes it's really hard for us to see. Again, it sounds silly to say this, but, like, if you're not having a shower, it's easy to get caught up in that. And just, like, that's the new normal. Like, you've just never had a shower, or you don't shower often enough. So, like, why would that be a problem? Like, you survived up until this point not having that many showers. Like, it's really hard to see the things that are holding us back until someone else on the outside says, like, yo, you're doing this fucking dumb thing. Like, yeah. I'm exactly the same. I talked about it on yesterday's podcast that hasn't been released yet. But, like, once a week, I get my girlfriend to ask me, we do, like, an accountability thing where we, like, keep each other accountable. Once a week, I get her to ask me a bunch of questions. And one of the questions is, are you self-sabotaging? Like, am I self-sabotaging? And one thing I have a bad habit of doing is I don't reply to my clients' emails or, like, potential clients. Like, someone will hit me up and say, like, hey, Andy, I want to pay you all this fucking money. I want to help you pay your goddamn bills, which you say you're struggling with. Can you please take my money? And out of some weird, like, fear or, like, self-sabotage, whatever it is, I just take, like, a week to reply to their emails. And to anyone else listening, it's like, Andy, what the fucking Christ is wrong with you? This person is hitting you up to give you money, which you say you need to pay your bills, and you say you're stressed about paying your bills, and this person wants to fix that problem for you, and you're not doing that. So it's like, sometimes you just need someone else on the outside to say, like, you're being a fucking dumbass. And that's essentially what my girlfriend says to me once a week. Like, have you answered your fucking emails and accepted the money people are giving to you? And I'm like, yeah, I have. And she's like, good job. Good boy. And, like, this, it sounds like the same thing with you, right? Like, are you having a shower? No. Okay, have a shower. And then you do it and people are nice to you. And you're like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, fucking bathe nice yourself.
You have a shower. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right? Like, it just is. It's just like, you just need someone to just fucking set you straight and just be like, just fucking...
And yell at you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the benefits of, like, my forums and, like, if you can find some sort of accountability from other people, like, people who would just... And this is what you've seen. It. You've been on my forums. You're on my forums. You've seen so many people will have a big problem and then someone will be like, dude, you haven't even done step one to solve the problem. Go and do this. And then they do that and they're like, oh, thanks. That really worked. Like, congratulate. Like, thank you so much, guys. And everyone's like, yeah, you fucking retard. That was right there. But... I can't even hate on these people because I do the same shit. I'm just stupid.
I think a lot of people are just guilty of it and sometimes just need like someone like just talk down to them and just be like, bro, just go fucking stop being a bitch and just do it.
Like, and just it's part of being a human.
Yeah.
Like we have our own fears and insecurities and all this weird stuff. And yeah, like you just sometimes you even know that you're doing, like, I'm sure you knew that it was fucking dumb not to go to the shower, but it's like, I'm just so caught up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. On that note, we'll finish up unless you have anything else that you want to, and Barrett, you're welcome to bring something up if you want something else that we can, like any other questions or.
I don't really have a question, but I guess another like kind of statement. I think a lot of guys, another thing is a lot of guys take into factor like looks, but like looks definitely aren't everything. Like social skills, I think are like number one thing that a lot of guys, I think in this community, like just the whole self-improvement community, like overlook or like put too much emphasis on. Is looks.
Okay. I would phrase that and tell me if you like have a different opinion. I would phrase it like you have to have your social skills in order. Like you have to have some fucking friends and know how to talk to people. Once that is sorted, then looks are the most important thing. But if you haven't even sorted your social skills, like you're missing the key ingredient.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll give some advice. I'll leave a link down below in the show notes. That will be at theinnerwinnershow.com/41. I'll leave a link down to an article I wrote called How to Make Friends. And if you don't have any friends or you don't have social skills, just go read that. Go do what I wrote in there. It's like not that complicated making friends. There's like 10 different ways you can do it. But I fully agree, man. Like you have to have some level of social competency. You don't have to be super charming. You don't have to be a god. I was super nervous when I started talking to girls, but like I had some freaking friends. And I think you're right. Like the number of people who've hit me up for coaching, whatever, and say, I'm not good with girls. And then it comes out that they literally have zero friends. And I really do mean zero friends. And I'm like, all right, we're not even going to tackle the girl shit. Like you have to go to like meetup.com or something, or a sports group, a sports club. Like you have to make some fucking friends. And then we will sort out this like dating shit. Like there is a weird thing where guys neglect the social stuff because they're so hyper-focused on self-improvement or career or, like, getting laid that they forget to just have some damn friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even, like, my buddy, like, he, you know, he has extremely good social skills and he gets laid all the time, but he's, like, 250 pounds. I don't know what that is in, like, kilos. But it doesn't matter because he's like literally friends with like everybody. Girls, guys, you know, his professors at college, didn't matter. And he literally had like a harem running in that art class. And it's just like, you know, it was crazy.
This is a topic that I'd like to talk about again. I'm going to massively put you on the spot. Feel free to say no. I can edit this bit out if you want to. Are you willing to, or would you like to come on the podcast for a second episode at some point?
Sure.
Because I'm glad you said that, because I really want to talk about, this is a topic that I don't think gets talked about, certainly not on my website and websites like mine, the difference between, like they call it like game, I guess you can call it like social skills versus looks. And I know in my community, and maybe I've had a big hand to play in this, people are like hyper-focused on looks as the only solution. And I don't think I've ever said that it's the only solution, but I get how that could come across because that's like the only thing I really talk about. I would love to have you on again and have a conversation about like, can you get laid from social skills alone or pick up artists, like pick up lines alone or being super social, like it sounds your friend is alone. I believe the answer is yes. And I would love to have you on like to actually like dive deep into that. I'll do a bit of research. Like, you know, we'll write some anecdotes. We'll talk about it a bit. If you're happy to, I'd love to dive into that topic because I think that's important. And again, it's not something that gets talked about. Certainly not from me. I've never talked about that ever.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to. This has been a great time.
Hell yeah, man. I had a hell of a lot of fun. Before we wrap up, do you have anything you want to shout out? Anyone you want to shout out?
Shout out to like the whole Kill Your Inner Loser and Good Looking Loser community. You guys are like, I'm failing here, but you guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Everyone here is like pretty damn nice. Like everyone who's ever messaged me is like ridiculously nice. Everyone on my forums is ridiculously nice. And I think they all care about self-improvement. So if you guys want to be a part of that, come onto my forums. I'll leave a link down below in the show notes to that. It's just killyourinnerloser.com/forums and sign up. It's free, obviously. There's a bunch of people in there who are just like cool as shit. So I want to shout out to you. Like you had massive balls to come on here. As you said, you're super new to my community. You're like part ways along with your self-improvement and massive balls for coming on here, man. Because like, as you said before we started, you were like, I'm kind of nervous. Like I'm excited, but I'm kind of nervous. And like, I think you did a fucking amazing job. Like really, really, really good. Way better than I expected. This conversation was way better than I expected. I think this will end up being one of my best podcasts.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. Holy shit.
No, I really mean that. This was fucking good. I'm going to listen back to it as soon as we get off the call. Stick around when I hang up because I'll keep chatting to you for a little bit. But
sure.
Cheers for listening. Cheers for coming on. Stay safe. Wear condoms. Wear a hat outside. Wear sunscreen. What?
Fuck condoms.
What?
No.
Fuck condoms. Okay, don't wear condoms. Didn't I say that in some podcast? I'm pretty sure at the end of one episode I said don't wear condoms. I'm pretty sure I said that.
I think you did. And also fuck sunscreen. Get tan so you don't
fuck
have to
sunscreen. Wear sunscreen. Don't wear sunscreen. Don't wear condoms. Don't wear a seatbelt. Don't wear hats. And fucking shit on a pigeon in public. See you guys.